Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. COVID-19 hospitalizations continue to increase in Alaska. A pandemic update from the Department of Health and Social Services yesterday listed 11 new hospitalizations with 139 confirmed virus patients, plus another 18 suspected cases getting care in Alaska hospitals. The combined total of 157 hospitalizations at one time is a new daily high. 15 COVID patients were on ventilators, also a record. Meanwhile, the DHSS reported another 549 Alaska resident cases yesterday. Anchorage had the most with 251, followed by Bethel with 35. In the interior, there were 25 new cases in Fairbanks, 11 in North Pole, 6 in Delta Junction, 2 each in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, Southeast Fairbanks Census Area, and the Yukon-Koyukuk Census Area, and 1 in Tok. There were also 2 new non-resident cases identified statewide. COVID outbreaks continue at 2 state prisons. Alaska Public Media reports that 2 weeks into an outbreak, there have been 204 cases at the Goose Creek Correctional Center at Point McKenzie. There have now been a total of 158 cases at Fairbanks Correctional Center, including 7 recent and still active cases. Department of Corrections spokesperson Sarah Gallagher says regular testing is occurring at both facilities, but some inmates at FCC, where an outbreak began over a month ago, are now refusing to be tested. Tourism is one of the industries worst economically hit by the coronavirus pandemic, and an ordinance in front of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly tonight would direct $500,000 in CARES money to Explore Fairbanks to offset some of the impact. KUAC's Robin reports.
Explore Fairbanks, the nonprofit Convention and Visitors Bureau, has requested support in response to the dramatic downturn in Fairbanks tourism. CEO Deb Hickok says Explore Fairbanks laid off 5 people in April and continued to lose positions through the year.
So a year ago last summer, we had approximately 27 employees. That would include seasonal and part-time. And right now we're at 13, soon to be 12.
Hickok says building back small tourism businesses that were impacted by the pandemic will take years.
For interior, for the year to date through September, there was a 30% loss of jobs in the leisure and hospitality sector.
Explore Fairbanks pivoted this spring with a campaign of safe, mostly outdoor tourism marketing, and launched several robust campaigns to get Alaskans to see their own state safely.
We did an Aurora season push at the end of the summer because that's when Aurora season starts, and now we're beginning to roll out our winter campaign.
Explore Fairbanks already received $15,000 from the Business Interruption Grant Program, one of 3 categories the borough is using to disperse coronavirus funds to local businesses. The Fairbanks North Star Borough is passing the money through from the CARES Act that was passed by Congress in late March. The Assembly set up $18.5 million to the 3 community grant programs, $1 million to the University of Alaska Fairbanks response, and just over $5 million for the borough response. The ordinance before the Assembly would give Explore Fairbanks $525,000 in CARES money to offset some of what Hickok says is significant impact on tourism marketing.
Yeah, it's been devastating for the tourism industry, and it will continue to be. Domestic travel will probably be back by summer 2022 in terms of volume, but not in visitor spending.
Hickok says the CARES money will pay for work already done this summer and going through December. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The city of Fairbanks is looking for a new police chief since the unexpected resignation of Nancy Reeder in August. Last night, the city released a plan to bring together representatives from different sectors of the community on a hiring panel. City spokesperson Teal Soden says Mayor Jim Matherly wants an open and transparent process.
Ultimately, it is the mayor's decision who is selected for the position, but he really wants the community to be involved. We know that the police chief is going to have good relationships with local businesses, area-wide law enforcement agencies, residents, nonprofits, and that's why he's comprised the interview panel from all of these sectors.
Mayor Matherly is responding to public calls for greater input in the hiring and is seeking representatives from the Fairbanks City Homeless and Housing Coalition, the Greater Fairbanks branch of the NAACP, Alaska Native Leadership, the Chamber of Commerce, the Alaska State Troopers, the city's Diversity Council, the District Attorney's Office, the Interior Alaska Center for Nonviolent Living, and a behavioral health provider or client representative. The police chief job will open to city employees on December 14th for 1 week. After that, the mayor could decide to open the position to the broader public and will eventually submit a choice to the city council.
It's their responsibility to confirm the selection. They could deny it. I've never seen that happen before, especially when a process like this where it's gone through so many steps and so many people have had input. But yeah, it goes to them for confirmation.
Soden says the city will hold a public forum with applicants for the police chief position. The state plans to run 3 wolf control programs this winter. Alaska Department of Fish and Game wildlife biologist Tom Paragai says all 3 efforts are in interior and southwest Alaska.
For the Mulchetna caribou herd, for moose in Unit 19A, which is in the middle Kuskokwim near Sleep Mute, and then in the upper Kuskokwim near McGrath, Unit 19D.
A possible 4th program in the Glen Allen area hinges on the outcome of moose and wolf population surveys. State wolf control programs rely on permitted public pilot gunner teams and sometimes state employees killing wolves. This winter's effort will be the smallest since programs to reduce wolf and bear numbers to boost moose and caribou populations under Alaska's intensive management law began in the early 2000s. Looking at all 10 programs active at various times between 2003 and 2018, Paragai says most met at least some of their objectives, including a 13-year campaign aimed at growing the 40-mile caribou herd in the upper Yukon and Tanana River region.
The 40-mile is one of the programs that met both its population and harvest objectives, achieved and surpassed 50,000 caribou, and now they're starting to provide more harvest opportunity there to take advantage of the larger herd.
Paragai is conducting an assessment of state predator control programs run between 2003 and 2018. Using some of the same data, Anchorage-based independent biologist and predator control critic Rick Steiner recently released his own review of current programs.
The bottom line is, after spending millions of dollars of public funds and killing thousands of wolves and hundreds of bears and translocating bears, the results have been mixed at best. And there's a pretty vibrant debate in the scientific community about whether or not these predator control efforts actually have assisted long-term in these moose and caribou populations.
Steiner contends that the state doesn't have the science to justify predator control.
Even if you take thousands of wolves out of an area and the moose or caribou population increases, it does not mean that the predator control effort was directly the cause of the population increase.
It's not like physics and chemistry where you've got an action and a reaction. You've got a lot of moving parts and a living system.
The state's Paragai says on a basic level, predator control works short-term, but because there are so many other factors, including weather and wildfire, science can't provide a definitive answer about their effectiveness.
Ultimately, it comes down to personal values and ethics about whether predator control is appropriate to do and where and how, and then how much cost is involved with it. Those are all very good questions.
Paragai says the state posts annual program data so that the public can judge for themselves. Steiner wants the state to suspend the remaining programs and have the efficacy of state predator control reviewed by the National Academy of Sciences, something that last happened over 20 years ago. The 2021 Anchorage Fur Rendezvous Open World Championship Sled Dog Race has been canceled. Greater Anchorage Incorporated and the Alaskan Sled Dog and Racing Association announced the decision, saying the late February race and the large crowds of spectators it draws to downtown Anchorage for the start and finish are too risky during the pandemic. I'm Dan Bross.